All right, my name's Matt from Infants on Thrones, and I've been nominated for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
By now, we seem to be at the tail end of what's become a real cultural meme. A viral challenge that's become a symbol of charity and sacrifice, or perhaps a symbol of groupthink and narcissism. This ALS Ice Bucket Challenge is huge. Everyone's doing it. There are reports that this Ice Bucket Challenge is a huge success, with donations to ALS.org up millions compared to last year. As I've watched video after video of people dumping buckets of cold water over themselves, it's reminded me an awful lot of something I used to do pretty regularly. Attend and serve in the Mormon temple. At least that's what Mormons say they do in the temple, serve. So what does the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge have to do with a Mormon religious ceremony? Well, maybe nothing, but maybe a lot. It's no secret that Mormons view temples as the ultimate symbol of their faith. Attending and participating in the rituals there is the ultimate goal for every member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. LDS kids even sing songs about going there someday. The purpose is to get married or sealed to your spouse, which Mormons believe is a requirement to go to super VIP heaven, as Brother Jake calls it. But they also believe that this sealing allows you and your extended family to be together forever in this super VIP heaven. Mormons believe that without the temple, all family relationships will be severed at death. Now, I know that doesn't make any practical sense, but that's the belief, so just go with it. So, if the person is getting these benefits of super VIP heaven and a connection that binds them to their family forever, then why do most Mormons refer to going to the temple as, quote, serving in the temple, end quote? Well, not unlike genealogy, the reason why is not very clear to me. But the reasoning is essentially this. The personal benefits of family connections and receiving the password to get into super VIP heaven.
What's the password?
Only happens the first times Mormons go through the temple. And Mormons are encouraged to attend the temple regularly, even weekly. And when they go back, they go through as a proxy for someone who's died. So Mormons believe that they really are helping people who have died get into super VIP heaven and are also helping them reconnect with their family in the afterlife. I suppose this is a noble goal, and I certainly can't fault people who believe in the literal effect of the temple for feeling that they're actually doing some good for someone who's dead. But even when I was a complete believer, I had a tough time saying that going to the temple was a form of service, and was frustrated when others would. I'd go through the ritual and realize that these were just symbols without any real tangible effect. This frustration only grew when I went through the temple for and in behalf of John Smith. I'm not kidding, John Smith. Now, I'm sure there are real John Smiths out there, but I wondered, which one am I going through for? And how does God know? I mean, the John Smith I went through for needs to be able to get into super VIP heaven and needs to be with his family. The answer came either from someone else or from my own mouth. It'll all work out in the end. I then learned that temples didn't have enough names and would reuse names over and over and over again. So the person I was going through for and on behalf of likely had somebody else go through for and on behalf of them a couple times previously. Well, oh well. If once was good enough, then twice and three times is even better, right? God will work it all out in the end. If that wasn't enough, I then learned that there were people who were paid by the church to come up with names, and they just flat out made them up. Again, oh well, so what? I'm sure I learned something when I went through for that fake person, and God will sort it all out in the end anyway. Soon, even as a believer, I viewed the temple as a complete waste of time, especially if God would eventually just work things out in the end. I was just moving my hands and doing these rituals to make myself believe that I was actually doing something for someone else. Once I left the church, the temple was still a symbol for me, but it was a different sort of symbol. It was a symbol of the time I wasted when I was a believer. I realized the temple was incredibly inefficient. At one point in the temple, a prayer is offered, and the person saying the prayer holds up a bag, and in the bag is a whole bunch of strips of paper with names on it. Faithful members write the name of a friend or loved one they feel needs help, of a special prayer. A prayer that might have more effect because it was made in the temple. This is called a prayer roll. The person saying the prayer picks up the bag of names and says something like, "We pray for all those whose names are contained here and the names of people written on the prayer rolls of all the temples this day." So I remember thinking, if they can do that for the prayer, why not do one temple session for all the people who have died? Boom! One big mega proxy to ensure all people will get all the ordinances they need to get to super VIP heaven and to be with their families forever. Or if that wasn't good enough, why not just wait till the millennium? A time I was taught we would be doing temple work. Certainly all the righteous resurrected people would be able to make short work of all the names of people who needed their work done. I realized I was in Office Space, and the church is Lumberg, and going to the temple was the equivalent of putting a cover sheet on a TPS report. Just something to keep me and the rest of the members busy.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
There's no effect, no impact, no service that's being done. It's a futile symbol which only served to make me feel righteous and justified in my self-righteousness.
If not, I have failed indeed. Ooh, yeah.
Pretty cynical, I know. I'm sure there are people out there that can talk about the value of symbolism, the value of ritual, and the value of the temple. I mean, heck, I used to always say, well, regardless of whether or not the work I was doing in the temple actually had some effect on somebody, that if I was able to think about a dead person symbolically, hopefully that would cause me to do something to help real people that I interacted with on a daily basis. But I didn't. I think of all the hours spent in the temple, and I realize I would have been better off mowing my elderly neighbor's yard. But I didn't. Because just like most people, I found that participating in a symbol of sacrifice and charity was easier than actually sacrificing or being charitable.
You are pathetic and weak.
So, what does my temple experience have to do with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge? Well, like those who attend the temple, I have no doubt that everyone who's done the Ice Bucket Challenge means well. And I'm sure they feel like they've done something. And as I've said earlier, as a result of this viral Ice Bucket Challenge, donations are up for ALS research. And I'm noticing a lot more people recently focus more on donating. But too often, I've seen people and still see people challenge others who say, you have to do this or donate. Now, for the people who donate and do the challenge, thanks for the donation. And I'm thanking you because not long ago, my mother-in-law had knee replacement surgery. And after the surgery, her foot didn't really work anymore. The doctors attributed it to some nerve damage and assured her that she just needed to work on a rehab program. She didn't get better. Her kids assumed that part of the reason was because she wasn't working hard enough to do the exercise she was supposed to do, even though she really was. Soon she got weaker and weaker, and she wasn't able to walk hardly at all, and had a very difficult time getting around her house and doing the things she needed to do. She started having breathing issues, and the doctors attributed it to a bout with pneumonia. Eventually, she ended up in the hospital on a breathing machine and unable to walk. It turned out she had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And although no one knew it at the time, that's what had caused all her health issues the year before. The ironic thing is that, unlike some diseases, even if the doctors had diagnosed it earlier, there was nothing they could have done. There's no treatment to cure or even slow down this debilitating and deadly disease. And almost with malice, it struck down the mother of the most important person in my life. So I guess I'm glad that people are more aware of this disease than they were at the beginning of the summer. My family's awareness of this disease came as an icy bath to the heart. But being aware of the problem doesn't really do anything to solve the problem unless awareness turns to action. So, I'm not doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, but I am nominating everyone who has or who will be nominated to do the Ice Bucket Challenge to participate in the symbol if you want. But don't stop there. Donate something. Or find someone with ALS and help them with something. Because there's probably something they just can't physically do for themselves. And I'm also nominating people who attend the temple. Participate in the ritual, participate in the symbol, but don't stop there. There's probably somebody in your ward or in your neighborhood that could use a little service. And ALS isn't the only malicious disease out there. My dad and a close friend are currently battling different forms of cancer. Both of them are unlikely to win this battle. And both, my dad in his early 70s and my friend who's barely 35, will be struck down too soon. So, I guess I'm also nominating everyone out there to do the Ice Bucket Challenge for cancer. Or better yet, go get and encourage your loved ones to go get a colonoscopy or visit a person who's in the hospital dealing with cancer or what comes with cancer treatments. You know, come to think of it, Parkinson's, diabetes, MS, CMV, and hemophilia are all diseases that affect people I know and love. All of these diseases need awareness, attention, and money. Those people and families living and dying with these diseases all probably need some sort of help. So I guess I'm nominating everyone to do an Ice Bucket Challenge and donate to one of those diseases as well. Also, I mean, if you're willing to be uncomfortable by pouring ice water over your head, although here in Arizona in August, an ice bath is more of a treat than a sacrifice. But if you're willing to be uncomfortable with ice, let someone stick you with a needle and donate blood instead of, or at least in addition to, the Ice Bucket Challenge. And we can even post ourselves getting the injection and donating blood and put that on the internet or Facebook or Instagram or our blogs or whatever we're doing and let that go viral. There really are probably an endless list of worthy causes that have real need and are worthy of attention. So, since this has become a bit of a soapbox-standing, preachy sermon of a minisode, I'll end the way many good Mormon sermons end. I challenge you, my good brothers and sisters of this podcast, and I challenge myself, to find those worthy causes that we care about and do something for them that can affect change. Do something that's more than a symbol. Or, if you like symbolism, awesome, do that too. But don't just be a symbol of sacrifice and charity. Be the embodiment of sacrifice and charity. Otherwise, we're all just cold and wet. And I leave you with this, in the name of humanism, personal connections, sacrifice, and love. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Hi, this is John Smith, a totally real person from the spirit world. Just recently out of spirit prison. And I'd like to thank Matt for doing my work for me. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
And Kathy, don't worry, you don't have to do the Smirnoff Challenge. But this is for you, Jason.
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.